Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess, as he lines up this last shot. He's got about 195 yards left, and looks like he's got about an 8 iron.
Dr. Hockey.
All right, well, I want to welcome Dave Ayers to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Dave, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with us.
So, Dave, are you quarantined up in Canada? What are you up to lately?
I am right now, actually. I had to go for the test yesterday because I've traveled so much. So,
oh, really?
They kind of made me go for the test and stay home and whatnot. So,
man, are you feeling okay?
Be all right. I should be all right. You know, a little cough, but I think it was because I was worn down before. So I was all over the place, not even sleeping in my own bed, you know, hotel to hotel. So it wears you down after a while, but I'm good.
You were on a whirlwind tour after your big appearance, huh?
Yeah, I don't think it stopped for, 3 weeks or so? So until this whole pandemic decided to kick in, it kind of slowed my life down. So maybe it was a good thing.
Well, what you did is never going to go away because you, I think, are going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame for quite some time. Is that correct?
Yeah, my stick's in the Hall of Fame, and I think I broke 2 or 3 records for that game. So it might be a tough one to beat. You know, there's not too many older guys like me playing hockey anymore.
Well, walk us through it. Our listeners, you know, may not know the whole story. So let's you kind of give us your – I'm sure you've got this down for how much media you've done. But just to let everybody know, Dave is the guy that, in my estimation, lived like the hockey lover spectator dream. He literally came out of the stands to get into an NHL game after both goalies of the Carolina Hurricanes went down in Toronto against the Maple Leafs, his home team, his hometown team, and he jumped on the ice and got to play the game. So tell us how it went for you.
I called it the ultimate fantasy camp.
Totally. Yeah, it's pretty true. Well, I've been with the Leafs organization for 8 years as their practice goalie, mainly for the Toronto Marlies. And then this last year, I've been practicing quite a bit with the Leafs. But I've been the Leafs emergency goalie for the most part of 3 years. So basically a day in the life of an emergency guy is, you know, you have your gear and you go to the game and you've got a schedule at the beginning of the year. You know, last year I did every game. This year I couldn't quite do all of them. But I think I was scheduled to do about between 25 and 30. So that was my game to be at. And you're dressed up and you're in the stands and you're just kind of watching the game. So you don't expect to have to ever go on the ice, but you're always ready. And, you know, being on the in the ice with the Leafs guys and pro guys for the last 8 or so years, you're ready to go. You want to get yourself into one of those games, but, you know, you don't think it's actually going to come. And then sure enough, 2 goalies go down. And actually the first goalie goes down and then I go down and I get half my gear on and kind of sit there and watch the game. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, whatever it was, they're knocking on the door telling me I'm getting the rest of my gear on and going in. So that was how it goes.
So you didn't stand up and say, hold my nachos, I'm going in?
No. You kind of I have a little ritual where, you know, my wife and I, we kind of go to the concession stand and get something to eat and then kind of get there early. We have to be at the game early, just before, over an hour early. But we go get something to eat. We kind of go in the stands. We always the same spot we always stand at. And then, you know, it's the same thing every time. Like I said, you don't expect to have to go in. I just finished eating my sandwich, actually, when I had to go in the last time. So it was good.
That's great. Now, like, did your heart start pounding when they said you're going in? I mean, that's got to be something where you couldn't have been ready for that necessarily.
No, and I've talked to a lot of NHL goalies, and they say, you know, even when they're sitting on the bench and they have to go in, you know, they get the nervous energy and their heart pounds too, right? So they said to me, you know, it was definitely how it would have been for any guy. You know, your heart pounds, you get excited, and then you get nervous. When you're actually standing there on the ice, you start to get nervous, and, you know, it's how it is for every goalie, right? Especially when you get put into a situation like that, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, which is the biggest thing for us up here, and you get put in there, and you got to go.
It's amazing. I mean, I really, it's just such a, it's such a dream to literally be able to get into an NHL game like that. And not only that, but you've set these records now. But let's backtrack for a second. Things didn't go so well right when you got in. Tell us, like, what happened in the first, you know, few minutes you were in there.
Yeah, that was a tough one. The first two shots ended up being goals. First one was kind of my fault for overplaying it, and the second one, you know, it was just off a shin pad right onto another guy's stick, and it was in. But yeah, I'm sure everybody in the world thought, you know, oh, this is going to be a disaster after the first two went in. And I know a lot of people that actually went online betting after the first two goals went in, and decided to put all their money down on Toronto, and it ended up coming back and biting them. But yeah, you know, after two goals go in right away, you're feeling a little more nervous. You want to crawl back in your shell, but you got to dig deep and get out of it. So.
Well, the good news is they couldn't pull you. So they couldn't pull you.
Yeah, there, so exactly. I was safe.
But I got a question for you, and this has been burning a hole in my head the whole time. So you're obviously from Toronto. You're obviously a diehard Leafs fan. You're with the organization. I have family that's in Thornhill, so I've been there millions of times. I know how rabid the Leafs fans are. Were you ever tempted just to kind of, oh, sorry, guys, I missed that one. Oh, missed that one too. I mean, because I'm a huge Red Wings fan, as Jay will tell you. And if I had to get called in to play for the Blackhawks against the Wings, I'm not sure my skills are going to be up to snuff that night, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah. No, we would always joke, you know, a couple of the guys on the team or whatever. We always joked, if I ever had to get in, you know, make sure you let a couple goals in. But obviously, I didn't mean to. You know, once you get on the ice, your pride kind of takes over and you want to save everything that comes your way. But, you know, I did let a few goals in, and, you know, Carolina just played really well and shut the door after that. So it was good. It was a great time.
Yeah, the first goal was Tavares, correct?
Yeah. So that guy's obviously one of the best players in the world. So, you know, for him to score on me, you know, I'm not ashamed. That guy can shoot, so it's great.
You get a pass on that one, because I know a lot of goalies who've seen some pucks go past them when that guy shoots. I mean, what a amazing way to start it off. But of course, you know, that's I'm sure that you were sitting there thinking to yourself, if I get, you know, 10 more of those, I'm in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you know, I'm used to those guys shooting on me, so it wasn't the actual caliber of shots, to be honest. I think, you know, obviously they can shoot, they can put it anywhere they want to, but, you know, I was used to that kind of stuff, and the part that got me was the fans and the craziness of the crowd. You know, they obviously have never seen something like that before, so they went nuts, they went crazy, and that was the hard part to kind of block out for a little bit there, and, it was so cool to hear them go crazy, but the first two goals went, and they weren't going crazy for me. They were going crazy because the Leafs were scoring, right?
Right. So since you know the guys on the Leafs team, were any of them talking trash during the game to you?
No, actually, I went off after the second period, and a couple guys gave me a few taps and said, you know, good job. So, you know, they have respect. They know, you know, the job that I do as a practice goalie, you're just taking puck after puck, and sometimes you go home with a ton of bruises, and they know this stuff, right? So they were happy. They were so proud to see me put a lot of work in and actually get out there on the ice and make a few saves.
That's great.
And what did Rod Brind'Amour say to you? I mean, this guy all of a sudden now is your coach. And what did he say to you in between periods?
He was awesome. You know, he didn't really say too much in between periods. He just kind of, you know, came in, did maybe like a little minute prep for the guys to go out in the third. And he just said, you know, let's win this one for ourselves, and let's win this one for Dave. And, you know, let's go out there and have fun with it. So the guys were all pumped, and that's what they wanted to do, and they did it.
Who was really leading the charge for the team to play the way that, you know, the Hurricanes played in the third period? They really stepped it up. It was very obvious. When you're in the locker room and you get back out on the ice for the third period, you know, they have a lot of leaders on that Carolina Hurricanes team. But who, in your estimation, really sparked that fire that got them going?
You know, Justin Williams is a veteran guy, great guy. He was like that in the room. He's like, let's go here and win one. You know, and Stahl was the same thing. He was great. But just all the guys, you know, they all pretty much saying the same thing. Martinook was saying the same thing. You know, let's go win this one. So, They were pumped. They were on my side. I don't think they ever doubted the fact that they could, you know, play well in front of me. Obviously, they don't know me too well, so, you know, they had to play a little extra hard just to try and protect their game.
You know, the whole time I was actually watching part of the game, and I heard what was going on. The thing that came to my mind, and I don't mean to use a baseball analogy, but the movie Field of Dreams, when it was Moonlight Graham, when he got out there and he actually got to play with the players and his heroes. That's what it kind of reminded me of. My God, I mean, what a feeling to be able to do that. Do you still pinch yourself about this? I mean, is this?
Yeah, you know what? They replayed the game on Saturday night, I believe, for the Carolina Network, and someone kind of live streamed it to my wife, and we were watching it. And I watched the Toronto feed once before after the game, and then I watched the Carolina feed, and just to see the game and the different reactions of the crowd and stuff like that, and it's just hard to believe when you're watching it that that's you. But when you were there, you definitely knew that you were the one in the net, right? Your heart's pounding and you're trying your hardest to play. I played defensive goalie. I didn't want to get myself out of position too much. I kind of stayed in the middle of the net and stayed fairly deep. So, but it is still pretty kind of surreal sometimes when you look back and you see that it was you in the net.
There's also another aspect to your story, which is also pretty incredible, is the fact that you've a kidney transplant. And, you know, I'm a physician. Jay's a plastic surgeon. I'm a pain specialist, but I think it was your mother donated your kidney for you.
Yeah, it was my mom. It'll be 16 years in May, so that was kind of put a hold on me playing hockey back then, and I didn't think I was ever going to be able to play hockey after that. You know, going through dialysis is not the easiest thing in the world, and sure. Anyone who's ever had to go through it realizes how much it takes out of your body. And I actually still played hockey with my brother and some buddies while I was on dialysis. And I had the catheter kind of hanging at my neck, and I just protected it with my equipment. But, you know, when you're on dialysis, your diet's pretty strict. You can't really have any liquid intake. So, you know, sure. In the middle of the game, you're putting water in your mouth and swirling around, spitting it out. And it's not easy to do, but, you know, I had such passion for the game of hockey, and I wanted to just keep playing. And my doctor said, you know what, you're crazy playing with the catheter in your neck, but you know, I can't stop you. You know, it's obviously not the best thing you could do, but mm-hmm. He didn't want to basically stop my life. And you know, when we went through the transplant, it was Dr. Zaltzman in Toronto, Dr. Prasad, those two guys were my post transplant guys, and they, even before, they were talking to me, just saying, you know, we'll get you moved up and we'll get you going on as fast as we can. And it was a year from the time that I found out that I was first sick until the time I had my transplant. So that's fairly quick. You know, I was lucky.
Well, yeah, and it's lucky to have a match with your mom. That's very that's great of her to do that for you. And, you know, for people that are listening, you know, the being able to find a donor who's a match like that is, do you mind me asking, but I bet you don't take immunosuppression at all at this point.
Yeah, I do. My mom was a really good match. Obviously not 100%. So, you know, I think the only time that you could have it where you're not taking any medication after is if you have a twin. Which mm-hmm. Right. I wasn't lucky enough to have a twin, but my mom obviously is a great match. And they said that your parents aren't usually the best. It's usually your siblings. So
that's right.
Because my mom was older and the kidney was such a great match, they went ahead and they used her right off the hop. And you know, it's been 16 years, and I'm actually on a really, really low dosage of immunosuppressant drugs right now. And you take it twice a day, and it becomes part of your life afterwards. You know, it's not right. It's not a hindrance for me. It's just, you know, something that is just part of it. You know, it's like taking a vitamin in the morning, or you know, brushing your teeth. It's the same kind of thing, you know, as you go on with your life. So it's not something that should hold anyone back if they do have it.
Well, I trained at the University of Pittsburgh, and we did some transplants there, and it is incredible. The amount of technology and the ability for these transplants to really engraft, and people live, you know, essentially normal lives, like you said, taking a vitamin every day and, you know, being smart about it. It's such a game changer for kidney and for liver, really. And even heart. There were people in Pittsburgh that would get hearts, and they were on such a like minimal regimen of immunosuppression over time that they could do anything they wanted. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think that's the best part of it for me is, you know, you have a big operation and the recovery obviously is a little bit tougher than, you know, a donor. The donor, my mom was out of the hospital 4 or 5 days and she was kind of on with her life after that, did a few checkups and then she's great. She's been good ever since. But, you know, as a recipient, you know, you got to put your work in. It's like anything. You, like you said, if you have any kind of surgery, you break your hand, you break your arm, it's the same thing as a rehab. You got to put your work in, right, if you want to get back right. to it. So it's just a mindset, I find. You know, don't take it as a negative. I take it as a positive. It's just something else in your life that you're going to be able to say that you've overcome. So, you know, anybody that I always talk to, I say, you know, I kind of go through my story and I said, just make sure that you sign your donor card, especially up here in Canada. We have that, you know, everyone can sign it. And I'm sure you guys have the same thing, but it saves lives. You know, there's mm-hmm. People like me who benefited. You know, mine was obviously my mom and a live donor, but there's people that I had dialysis with that were 9 years waiting for somebody to donate to them.
Wow.
Yeah, I've signed my donor card. I've always been ready and willing to serve that purpose should I come to it, but I'd say it is important. And that was a big thing in Pittsburgh. We really always thought about everybody. The transplant awareness is really key. So we appreciate you talking about that for sure. Again, we are the Dr. Hockey Podcast. And I don't know if you took a look at any of our episodes, but like the last three episodes have been about coronavirus and the upcoming treatments, et cetera, et cetera. So we're very much into the medical side of hockey. So thank you
for
that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, and that's one of the big things that people always say to me, you know, you're using this hockey platform to be able to talk to, about something like this, like a transplant. And I don't know if you guys saw the t-shirts that Carolina made with my name and number on the back of them. They basically made them the night of the hockey. And they said to me, what do you want to do with these t-shirts? You know, you can split the profits or you can take it or you can do whatever you want. And, so I want to donate to the National Kidney Foundation because it's in Carolina. So, so let's donate a portion of these sales to the National Kidney Foundation. And so that's what they're going to do for every t-shirt that's sold.
That's fantastic.
Where can they buy, where can our listeners get those t-shirts?
The t-shirts right now are on the Carolina Hurricanes website. It's Canes Shop, I believe, something like that. But from what I hear, they're going to start selling them on NHL.com. I'm not 100% sure what's going on with that, but I know there's been a lot of pressure to try and get them. It's hard in Canada, and Canada it's a little bit tougher, but in the U.S., go to the Carolina Hurricanes website, and you'll find them there.
Excellent. Well, that's very, very helpful. We want people to definitely check it out. Do you have any other place that people should go look for your stuff and your story? Any other websites or Twitter feeds, anything that they should be following?
I actually just got my Instagram. I wasn't a social media guy. My wife is a social media person. And so they said to me, you know, get yourself an Instagram, get verified. So my Instagram is David Ayers, and I kind of post a lot of stuff on there. Not too much yet, but I'm going to start posting a lot of stuff, more so about kidney foundations. I did an organ donation green shirt day and posted a couple pictures on there of that stuff. So there'll be a lot more coming. I'm doing a lot of speaking stuff for different kidney foundations and stuff. So I'll be putting a lot of that on there as well.
Hey, well, Dave, were you able to choose your jersey number, or they just kind of assign it to you?
Yeah, that's just the sign. I know Scott Foster in Chicago, he wore 90 as well. So he texted me the next day, and we didn't talk about numbers, but he said he was super pumped that I got out there, and I kind of shut the door on the guy. So he said he was in his living room standing and screaming at the TV, which is pretty cool.
That would have been great if you had actually been in negotiations in the locker room saying, no, I want 92. I want.
I would have taken 35 as my number, so I would love to take that. But, you know, when you go to the NHL and they say, here's your jersey, you don't complain, that's for sure.
True.
Well, I definitely know that people are going to be talking about this game for, you know, quite some time. And, you know, do you have plans to do anything else in the NHL? Is there any talk of you, you know, getting a contract, getting into the teams? You have a role right now in Toronto, but was there anything talked about larger than that?
Not particularly. I still haven't. My contract's basically an NHL contract based in Toronto, so it's either team. So I have that till the end of the year, which who knows if it's going to start back up or not. We'll see how that goes. But I don't know if I can keep myself in shape enough next year. You never know. You know, I don't know if NHL is in my future, but, you know, I may go play somewhere or coach somewhere or do something. That's for sure.
It's really exciting, and it was just incredible to live that, you know, through you. We have a guest on our podcast fairly frequently, a goalie who played for the Bruins and the Sabres, a guy named John Blue, and he
right.
just was – he was so incensed. He says, I can't believe that guy's got a better record in Toronto than I do.
Yeah, so, that's too funny. That's a couple guys I've heard that said that. It was pretty funny. They'll reach out to me and they say, I can't win in Toronto. How'd you win in Toronto? So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, they said his friends were all texting him like crazy, like, you know, see, you couldn't even do that.
Dave, how are some of the Leafs fans been to you in the area if you're going to dinner, or when we used to go to dinner out in public? But what were some of the fans, were there any guys giving you grief for playing the other team, or anyone – How did it work? Some of those Leafs fans can be pretty brutal with you know, the way they behave sometimes with throwing jerseys on the ice and whatnot.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I think, you know, 95% of the people are great. You know, you get the odd, oh, I'm a huge Leafs fan. You know, I'm not a big fan of you, but I love the story. It was great. And you get a couple people, you know, they want to say their piece and whatnot. You know, there's always someone negative about the story, but you know, 95% of the people are great. They come up to me and say, this is an awesome story. We were in a restaurant with my wife and kids right after we came back from Carolina, and we had five or six different families stop by the table and get a couple pictures and just say congratulations. It was really cool. So the reception has been pretty good overall.
Well, that's great, as it should be, as it should be.
Didn't they make you, like, Citizen of the Month or something in North Carolina? I saw something like that on TSN or something.
They gave me my own day, and then they made me an honorary citizen, so which was awesome. You know, like, people in Carolina are amazing. Everywhere we went in Carolina, someone would stop me and say, this is so cool, it was the best hockey moment I've ever had. And you know, we were supposed to actually go back to Carolina tomorrow, but obviously that's been canceled. But I can't wait till everything calms down, we can get back down there and see a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, they were the fans in Carolina are just, they're crazy for their Hurricanes, and I know that the reception there for you has been, you know, stellar, and it should be. It's been really cool.
Yeah, well, they're amazing.
What's next for you? What are you going to do? I mean, obviously, we're all sort of locked in right now, but, you know, this isn't going to last forever. 2, 3, 4 weeks from now, we're going to be, you know, freed and can go, you know, move about the cabin. What's up for the summer? What's the plan?
So I'm in talks right now with I have an agency based out of L.A. that are doing a bunch of movie stuff right now. There's a lot of really big companies in L.A. that want to get a hold of the story and make a movie out of it. I know they want to do kind of this thing on HBO coming up, but it's more like a documentary style thing. And I know there's a lot of book requests being done right now, but I think I find out tomorrow about what goes on with a lot of the movie stuff and who's in and who's not. So from as far as I know, that's going to be the next big project for me.
That's great. We just had Mike Aruzioni on the podcast, and this day of yours, where you jumped out of the stands and won the game, happened on the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice.
Right. Yeah, that's another one of the things they made me fairly aware of. I didn't really know that it was the 40th anniversary. Obviously, I've seen the movie and stuff, but that was really cool. Just kind of the way that it happened, it was wild.
Now, so since you got your chance there, is there like a rotation that happens in Toronto or at these stadiums or the arenas with the games? Like, if one guy's gotten in already, is it someone else's turn, or could you get called up again?
Oh no, I was right back at it the next home game. I was there again for the next home game. Like I said, I had most of the games for the rest of the season. But yeah, you're still, whether you go in or you don't go in, you're there the next day as well. So I think most stadiums are the same way.
That is fantastic. And what are the three records that two or three records that you said? I knew the one was that you were the oldest goalie to win your NHL debut. And the other guy before you was like 1927 or something, and he was 41 and something days old. And
yeah,
you
I
being
think it
42,
was the oldest debut and then the oldest one to win. And I can't remember what the other one is. I have to look it up.
That's so cool. They took your stick, though, and it's in the Hockey Hall of Fame now. Is that correct?
Yeah. As soon as I got off the ice, basically, the guy came up to me and said, hey, you just set a couple records. We want to take your stick and put it in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and it's there. We did a little ceremony, and that was probably the coolest thing. You know, all those players that played so hard for so many years, and they've accomplished so much for the sport, and just to be able to have a little piece of me in there has been great.
So, David, quick question for you, though. So, do the same rules apply if it's the playoffs or even the cup finals?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your emergency goalie. I was there for the playoffs for the last 2 years. So when they played against Boston both times, if somebody went down and it was my turn to go in, I was going in.
Imagine you going in for game 7 or something like that. I can't even picture the amount of stress you'd be under at that point.
Oh, yeah, that would be ridiculous, but it would be a lot of fun at the same time, right? As a goalie, that's what you're looking for. You want to be out there and you want to make the big save. So it'd be fun.
Wow. Well, Dave, you know, are there any questions that we can answer for you? I mean, we are, I don't know if you know much about us, but you know, we're both doctors in Los Angeles. Jason's a pain specialist. He does a lot of injections for all kinds of different chronic pain and acute pain. And I'm a plastic surgeon. I operate mostly on noses, specifically ones that have been previously operated and didn't turn out so well. But we've been talking a lot about coronavirus and what's going on lately. So can we answer anything for you?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know if you guys caught that part. I had skin cancer twice on my face, and one of them was a pretty big one. The first one, you know, it took a while before they decided to pull it out, and it was just pretty much half of my face on the one side, and they did a pretty good job on it. And the other one kind of didn't waste any time and took that one out right above my eyebrow right away. So those are definitely, I'm sure you've worked on those before seen them. So, you know, those are things, you know, people... I don't think people really know that those can be dangerous as well, right? So,
was it basal cell?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Wow. Basal cells they will literally, they won't kill you, but they'll certainly eat your whole face. And
yeah, they keep going and going. Yeah,
yeah, they're really tough. It is a definite. You know, you can have another message there too about wear your sunscreen, because that is no joke.
Yeah, I think that was my problem. I was one of those guys who would go out with no sunscreen or even go into a tanning bed and thinking, you know, this is not going to bother me at all. And you have a kidney transplant, you're taking immunosuppressants, and next thing you know, you've got little spots on your face that decide they want to grow quite a bit. And then you're getting them taken out.
Oh, yeah. So was that done at the University of Toronto?
No, these ones were done just in Oshawa at the hospital here. They just kind of pulled them out, and I was good. Actually, I got the one done on my face, and I think it was 20 some odd stitches or so. And I went and played hockey within the next 45 minutes after getting it taken out. I was right back on the ice. So,
of course, you did.
Yeah,
You can't stop the hockey. That's part of the deal.
That's right. Yeah, it's in my blood, I guess.
For sure. Well, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're really pleased to have you on the Dr. Hockey podcast. It's really been awesome. We'd love to, you know, kind of follow you out and check back in with you later on down the road, just kind of get your whole take on it, because it sounds like you're going to be on a tour for quite some time.
Yeah, I think once this stuff all kicks back up, I've had a bunch of things canceled on me, so I know they're rebooking everything. So the summer looks like it's going to be a busy one, and who knows how long it's going to last for.
Well, when you come to Los Angeles, definitely look us up. We are right. I'm sure you're going to go right into Century City, where all the agents are, and we're literally, you know, half a mile down from them in the Golden Triangle, Beverly Hills. So we'd love to have you in for a podcast and get to really, you know, kind of get more into it.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun. I've never been to LA, so I know I'm going to be there. That's for sure. Like I said, with all this movie stuff going on, I know I'm going to be down there at some point. So I'll definitely make sure I get a hold of you guys and come on in.
Who would you like to see play you in the movie?
Oh, I don't know. I've had a couple people say Ryan Reynolds would be a good one. Canadian guy. So
good choice.
Yeah, it's got to be a skater.
Yeah. He'd be a really good one. And I also heard I heard Mark Wahlberg had interest. So. We'll see how that goes too. I think he needs to stop hitting the gym so much if he wants to play me.
That guy is ripped.
Yeah, he is. Sure he works out a lot.
I'm sure you're in pretty good shape. You jumped in there and did the job, man. That doesn't come easy.
Yeah, no, I keep myself in really good shape, but not as good as him, that's for sure. Hockey players are a little bit different than that.
Yeah, for sure. That build actually doesn't really work so well for hockey. That's a little too square muscled and too, you know, it's too tight to do the things that you need to do as a, you know, especially shooting. And I think also as a goalie, most of the guys
need the flexibility, right? And that, when I first started playing with the Marlies 8 years ago, I was that guy. I was the guy who was, you know, I had a body like him, and it was a lot harder to move, than it is now, where you kind of lengthen yourself out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when we see, because we go to like a lot of the stuff with the Ducks and the Kings, and the goalies are always sort of, you know, they're strong.
Jay, you do, I don't. And yeah, don't lump me in with those teams with you, please.
I'm gonna lump you in because you've been to some Duck stuff with me, and we've met Gibson and Ryan Miller, and Miller's like a tall guy, and he's kind of thin, you know, he's not really like he's not ripped or anything, just like a really big dude.
That's usually how goalies are. You know, they're not too thick. You know, I'm 6 feet, 210 usually. But normally the guys are taller than me and about my weight, if not less. But the amount of calories you burn in a practice is crazy. You're constantly up and down and lateral, and people think it's easy being a goalie until they put the gear on and they realize how hard it is. So it's not easy.
Right, I guess the one exception is that I can think of is Robin Lehner. He was like Jason and I were at the NHL awards. I remember he kind of looked like the Incredible Hulk. Don't you remember Jason? He was like a stacked dude.
He was a little more stocky, but I mean Ben Bishop and I were looking eye to eye though, and we had the same build. So, I mean, except for the fact that I'm horribly inflexible, I could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Robin Leonard's a big boy. Freddie Anderson's big in Toronto. He's pretty thick. You know, he's got some pretty big legs on him. So a lot of the goalies nowadays have some pretty solid legs on them. So it gives them a few more pounds there.
All right.
But it's amazing, you know, to think back of guys that played in the 80s, though, like Grant Fuhr, Mike Vernon. These guys were sometimes even under 6 feet and were able to, you know, do great.
I was watching, they actually had a replay on TSN up here of that 1980 All-Star game, and I was watching some of those guys, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen the movie Slapshot, but
of course,
the goalie in net there, he was basically the goalies that you saw in the net for that 1980 All-Star game. He was small guys, just thin, and their equipment wasn't very big, so not a lot different than today.
And you feel shame.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, Slapshot's like, it's a, you can't be listening to this podcast and not seeing Slapshot. So, you know, that's the deal.
Right.
Exactly. Well, listen, we really, really appreciate you coming on with us, Dave. We won't take any more of your time, but definitely keep us in mind. If you come to Los Angeles, we will, we'll scramble the troops and get everybody together, and we'll put you on again, and love to hear how things are going with, all the things that you're doing. It's really exciting.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm definitely going to come down and see you guys.
Great. Look forward to it.
All right, Dave. Thanks so much. We will we'll check in with you again, and you know, appreciate you joining us on the Dr. Hockey podcast.
Right on. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.